Well, on December 4th, word came down of the Army Corps' denial of the permit for Energy Transfer Partners to drill under the Missouri River by the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota. Field Mole Desiree Helligers was on hand at a Vancouver, Washington fundraiser for Standing Rock, where the keynote speaker, Jode Gowdy, chairman of the Yakima Tribal Council, spoke about the connections between the historic struggle at Standing Rock and the ongoing battle to protect the Pacific Northwest and Columbia River from the predations of fossil fuel companies bent on profit at any cost.
Thank you very much, Cecilia. Sheikh Khawdi Badinaimuma, Banashas Chaikwach, Anakuchi Kup Nayaku Shana Panita Shabata, Ami Sinwita, Iwa Nakatawitash, Ach Panan Witwitwanitash, Iwa Nakatawitash, Ami Chush, Ami Ninaimuma, Ami Yalchima, Nami Anishma. My name is Chaikwach. That's my native name. And I'm also known as Jode Gowdy. And I serve as the chairman of the Yakima Nation Tribal Council. And as Cecilia had indicated, and I want to thank each and everyone here this evening for the opportunity to express some words on behalf of what is happening at Standing Rock, what is happening there with their fight on behalf of their chush, their water, their kichum, their land, their elders, their children, their future. It is not unfamiliar to many of us specific, but what is unique about the Standing Rock situation is that it has awakened many hearts, minds, and spirits specific to a plight. And questions. First question I must ask myself is, Shinawanisha, who are you? Who are you? The second question is, Manaknikanwa, where do you come from? And those are two, what most people would observe, very, very simple questions. But if anybody truly took the time to have an understanding of where those questions are coming from, what they're doing, how you are coming into interaction with those questions, and where you are taking it. Because it's only upon the understanding of such questions, who you are and where you come from, that you have the foundation necessary to put conscientious and clear, coherent thought into where you are going. The answers to those questions for me, they've changed throughout time. To have an understanding of who you are and where you come from, because I, as a native person, I can tell you that my ancestors walked upon this very ground that I'm speaking at tonight. We have a tie physically throughout history that goes back with this territory and this area that goes back since time immemorial. Regardless of what anybody says to our people collectively, that means forever to us. Me as a Yakima, for me as a native person, for me as a person who has a relationship with that Enchiwana, that river that flows by us, to have a relationship with those things that separate you and your identity from the rest of this world. And without such things, you cease to be. We have a relationship with our language, first and foremost. We have a relationship with our chush, our water, which many of you are drinking. We have a relationship with our Lakonish, our salmon, our Teochi, our Chaush, our Luksh, our roots, our Winnet, our deer, our Mavokia, Wapanish, our elk, our Timush, our Weewinin, the Chokecherry, and the Huckleberry. But above all, for the native peoples of these lands, of these territories, we hold chush to be in high regard, water. The chairman of the Yakima Nation, I have a duty to uphold the Treaty of 1855 between the Yakimas and the United States. The federal court system is a rigged system when it comes to Native issues. If you go back to the origins of federal Indian law, what you're going to find is Justice Marshall in the Marshall Trilogy, but specifically one case in Johnson v. McIntosh, citing historical Roman papal bulls for his justification to rule on jurisdictional issues for land when it comes to Native involvement. And you go back to the papal bulls that he cited, and what you have is papal bulls that were issued by the popes who sat in the 14th and 15th century that gave holy orders to the monarchs of England, Spain, and Portugal. And this is what Christopher Columbus, or Cristobal Colón, utilized when he arrived down in Honduras. He had papal bull in hand, and what it stated was that as they had gone out to glorify the crowns of their various monarchs, that if they came upon unclaimed lands, and our lands occupied by heathens and our savages, that they had the right to express dominion over those lands and those peoples. Dominion as in domination and dehumanization. Those things happened. They were utilized as holy orders. Those holy orders were put as justification to essentially invoke and conduct the greatest genocidal act in the known history of man. I'm a survivor, my people, our peoples collectively, the greatest genocidal act in the known history of man. That's reality. Funny how that plays out when you get into the Supreme Court rulings and you have a Supreme Court Justice John Marshall, who's utilizing that as his justification to bring forth inciting the Roman papal bulls issued by popes who sat in the 14th and 15th century as a justification in the 1800s to rule over a jurisdictional and assume jurisdiction and our say over Native issues. And so if you trace the citations from the Standing Rock case, what case do you think you're going to find yourself at when you get to the end? Johnson v. McIntosh. That is the manner in which the federal court system of today's day and age, at least when it comes to dealing with Native issues, is a system that's rigged against us. After you went through a rigged consultation process, you go through a rigged dispute resolution process. And you're to either accept the outcome or put forth an effort to fight in a peaceful and our prayerful manner and bring forth your very will to see what can be done. You're either aware or not aware that today the Corps of Engineers made a decision to deny the easement. The decision that the Corps had made with regard to the easement, where do you think that decision was based upon? What area were they making their determination on as to issue their FONSI, their finding of no significant impact? On each side of the Missouri River, there's a borehole where the pipe is going to enter. Right there and right there. Nothing above river, below river, nothing with regard to the origins of the oil, the destination of the oil, nor any of the impacts that could be felt from the 17 million U.S. citizens who are downriver if there was an incident to happen where it was proposed. So there's a flawed process, collectively. On the way down here, we were traveling, and we stopped at Biggs. Coming from the Yakima Nation, we stopped at Biggs. We stopped, got some drinks for myself, my children, my wife, and we were getting ready to journey on, and we saw a brother standing by at the corner. And that brother was Paul. Paul, could you stand up? Paul, can you grab your sign and show me what I saw when I was driving by you? Paul made a determination that he was going to go join his brothers and sisters, the other veterans at Standing Rock. It just so happens to be by chance, on my way to an engagement that's raising funds for Standing Rock, that I drive by Paul. Where I come from, we would never drive past someone like that when they're going over to the stand on behalf of the resources that you love, that you hold dear, that you fight for. So I turned around and said, you know what, we'll see what can be done. And what I'm going to propose is this. You guys are at a fundraiser for an event. You have a veteran here that wants to go and get part of that event. I figure I'll start it. I got $100.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get it there.
I said, what are you going to do? Paul, can you bring your hat to me? My son's right here. He's going to walk around the table, so pass the hat. And the reality is that it is not over, regardless of the decision that had come from the court today. So I don't know how that's going to play out. But I do know this. I think that the veterans and the collective work and the effort that they did to stand for each of them to come forth and answer their constitutional cause, the right that they had in their feeling and their heart to do that and go be human shields for the water protectors. Because anyone who's seen me advocate and talk or be at certain things knows that most of the time I don't play nice. I'm going to call things for what I deem them to be, say it how it is. And I can tell you right now, whether it's Democrat or Republican, I'm disappointed in everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. If we had the time, all right, if we had the time, I'd pull up a computer, we'd have a big screen right here, and we'd look at the political contributions that all parties, all sides have received from big oil, from the different fossil fuel industries, and what you're going to find is that'll tell you exactly why there's been so much political silence on this issue. From both sides, including Obama. Take a look at his political contributions and you'll find out exactly where his will, his understanding of where he comes from, why he's doing what he's doing, and where he's going with it. Energy Transfer Partners obviously has got some pretty strong financing behind it. I think everyone's aware of, I think there's 26 banks. I think one or two of them have pulled out their financing ever since the controversies ensued. But such a project that has that many zeros behind it isn't going to go away just because a denial of an easement comes forth. And I think the fines, which is probably about $50,000 a day, is a drop in the bucket with regard to a proposal. Well, let's go ahead and just play it out here until the transition of the new administration comes into play, and perhaps there's going to be a reversal with all the decisions that have been made up to today. And that's just the beginning, because they denied the easement, but they also mandated an EIS, an Environmental Impact Statement, which is going to look at alternative routes. But alternative route, which way? Upriver or downriver? Because as far as my map goes, and I'm not a mathematician, but the 17 million residents from all walks of life, U.S. citizens, will be impacted regardless of which way you go, above Standing Rock or below Standing Rock, if there's to be a leak in the Missouri River, which will eventually hit the Mississippi up into the Gulf of Mexico. Not so dissimilar from one another. We are not, in principle, maybe in background, maybe in origin, maybe in whatever it may be, but the very principles upon the positive things in this world that we wish to do and advocate for, that will leave something for our future generations, as simple as this. The ability to drink clean water, breathe clean air, walk upon untainted grounds, and eat untainted food. So hard as it is, where are we going to be 50 years from now? Where are we going to be 100 years from now? Where are our children and our grandchildren going to be? And how is their lives going to be? Tonight we come together with an understanding of who we are and what we stand for this evening, where we come from collectively, and the very principles of what we believe in, and where we wish to collectively go. I'm sure many of you in here perhaps can even educate me on the details of a proposal for a Nestle water bottling plant in Cascade Locks.
Yeah.
A methane plant at Kalama, Washington.
Yeah, right.
Tesoro plant here in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, the coal plant in Longview.
Yeah.
There has been a very systematic approach and advocacy for a superhighway of fossil fuels to come through the Northwest. We collectively must put our hearts, our minds, and our spirits together to have an understanding of what we can collectively bring forth to combat this advocacy. It is real. There have been projects defeated, but there's so much money behind these projects that they will disappear and reappear under new corporate names, under different shell companies, as was being discussed. Me and Paul were talking about all the way up the river here. You'll probably see me advocating as best as I can. And I'm not afraid to call out whoever it may be with regard to responsible decision-making process and an advocacy or a justification by the will of which you are coming from. Where are you coming from? Why are you coming here? And where is it collectively taking us? So with that, I appreciate all of you being here tonight. I appreciate all the donations that come to our brother Paul. Perhaps we can make some kind of arrangement. If it's there, we'll get him there. And you can join his brothers and sisters at the front lines at Standing Rock. And so I thank you all this evening.